I see the teachers are taking reinforcements with them. They were afraid of being mugged. Okay. You know, I can't remember when I had that kind of energy. But it's good to see it. I want to read a couple of verses to you from Matthew. And we'll start with Matthew 4. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people." And then later on in Matthew 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom in healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Let's pray. Father, Jesus is our Savior. One day He's going to be our King. He is our Lord. And Father, He gave us, through His ministry, examples of what we should be and what we ought to do. And so, Father, as we meet together this morning, we would ask that Your Holy Spirit would communicate to each of our hearts what it is You have for us to do, and then, Father, that You would give us the courage to do it. We are a needy people, Father. And sometimes we are a fearful people. But we would ask that You would give us the boldness that Paul had. And Father, that any other resource that we might need, You would provide, that we might continue in Your ministry. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in all of these verses, one thing is in common. And that one thing is that Jesus went out from where He was to where the people were. He didn't hang around the house. He didn't hang around the temple. Oh, He went to the temple quite often. But He didn't hang around the temple. He went to where the people were. He was constantly on the move. He was constantly looking for places where there were people, people that He could minister to. And His goal seemed to be, now He only had 3 short years to conduct His ministry, but His goal seemed to be to reach as many people as He could during those 3 years. That caused me, as I thought about that, it caused me to wonder, as a church, are we missing something? Are we missing something? So that brings me, you know how I love questions. I love to ask questions, okay? And I'm going to ask some questions this morning. I'm also going to provide some answers, I hope. But the first question that I would ask this morning is, what is your goal for this ministry? What is your goal for this ministry? Do you have a goal for this church? Now, The reason that I asked this question, because I took some time recently to think, and my wife says I always get into trouble when I do that. But anyway, I took some time to think about this. And as your pastor, I do spend a lot of time thinking and talking with the Lord about what I should do here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and all the other days in between. And as I began to think about this, I got to thinking, where are we right now? Where are you right now, spiritually? Where am I? It's important to answer both of those questions. It's important to me as to where I am. It's important to you as to where you are. And so as I was meditating, I was surprised to realize that as a ministry, we have become a little stagnant. There was a time when, yes, we had goals. When 4 years ago, we had goals. We established goals. And we pursued those goals. And we achieved those goals. But right now, we've sort of run out of goals, or at least having stated goals. Because if we cannot verbalize what we are after, we're not after anything. And so it's important that we establish goals. Now, I, as a pastor, I can go ahead and I can establish goals for the church and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and hope that you follow. But you see, that's not the way it should be. It's not. You should have goals for this church. You, the ones who are sitting in the chairs, in the seats. I can't put goals in your heart. You have to have your own goals. I know we all want to see more people. That's not a goal. That's a desire. A goal is something that's a little different. A goal is a plan and a method of achieving that plan. And sometimes it means laying out various steps to get to the goal. And each of you, as well as myself, need to do that. There's a cliche around that if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. And that's a cliche, and you know, you say, well, what does that mean? It means if you don't have a target that you are shooting at, you're not going to hit it. And so if each of us have no goals, then we're going to accomplish exactly what we have goals for, or the lack thereof. And folks, I want to see each of us, yourself and myself, accomplishing things for God. I want to see us doing things. And that's one of the things that a goal requires. It requires that we take action. But that action has to have direction. And I am sure that somewhere in your heart, you have thought about goals for this church. Maybe you haven't thought of them in that particular sense. But I would imagine that there have been times when you have been talking with different folks here at the church and think, boy, I sure wish the church would do this. That could be a goal. And God is going to give you a goal, and only you can accomplish that goal. Now, we can work together to accomplish overall goals. You see, we have to have short-term and long-term goals. And one of the problems with our society today is that they don't have achievable goals. There are all kinds of goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, goals that are achievable, but there are also goals that are not achievable. So we need to be realistic, but there's one more thing that we have to be. We have to be scriptural in all of our goals. And if we are scriptural, we can be assured that God will help us accomplish those goals. I would not set out to do 100 push-ups. There's no way. That could be a goal, but I could not accomplish it. And I don't know if any of you could or not. Maybe you could. But that's not the kind of goal I'm talking about. The kind of goal I'm talking about is what God wants us, what he wants you, what he wants me to do as a church. Now, there's a reason why I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning because the deacons met in October of 2014 and decided that they wanted Kai and I to come to the church as a leader, as your interim pastor. And so we came. I am here this morning because I was called. And later on, this past October, in fact, the church asked me if I would stay on as a permanent pastor. And up to that point, I didn't really know what the Lord's plan was. But I accepted that as a call from God to be here. Now, that's why I'm here this morning. Why are you here? Hadn't thought about it that way? Or you just didn't have anything to do on Sunday morning, so you decided to go sing some songs. Why are you here? And the answer to that question may involve a goal, a personal goal for you. And if it does, this is not a bad place to be. This is not a bar. It's not a club. This is, I hope, the house of God. I hope a place where we can come together, where it is quiet and we can worship a holy God, where we can get to know who he is and what he wants from us. And if that is the case in your heart, God may be calling you, because he has a call upon every one of our lives. Now, you may not have thought about it that way, but God has a purpose for you, and that's why you're still breathing. That's why your heart is still beating, because God is not done with his purpose for you. And as long as he has a purpose for you, you are going to breathe, your heart is going to beat, and you are going to have life. There are times when God says, okay, you've finished what I sent you to do. Come on home. We saw that happen in James Hardy's life. And if the Lord tarries, it'll happen in every one of our lives. But wouldn't it be awful if he said, come on home, you're not doing what I want you to do, and it looks like you're not going to do it. So I might as well get you out of the way. Come on. Wouldn't that be awful? What a wasted time of life. Every one of us here this morning can be used of God to accomplish his purpose. And so I started off with two verses in Matthew about Jesus going out from where he was to where the people were. And I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to think about the possibility of each one of us going out to where the people are and having an impact, as Jesus did, on the people. Now, Jesus went to places where there were a lot of people. Matthew 5:24, verse I didn't read. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So that brings me to the question, could we be missing something if we are not going out to where the people are? Many churches are they're actually more social clubs than they are churches. There's some things we don't do here. We don't have praise and worship services because everything I've seen of praise and worship services is raucous, loud, not scriptural. There are only two times in Scripture where the Bible mentions praise and worship together. And it was when Solomon had built the temple and had prayed to have God come down and let his presence be in that temple. And when he got done praying, the fire of God filled the temple with smoke, and the people fell on their faces and they praised God and they worshiped him. Nobody was dancing around. There wasn't any loud music. There was just praise and worship. We started this morning with praise. Oh Lord, my God. And I trust that everyone in this room can say that, can call him my God this morning. Because if there's a question in your mind or in your heart whether or not he's really your God, we want to do something about it. We want to share with you. You can know. Because most of the people sitting in this room know him. And because we know him, we do worship him. Yes, there's a place for praise. There is a place for worship. So there's a difference between goals and desires. My desire is to see every chair here filled. But that's not my goal because I don't have a plan for that. And I doubt that you do either. But as we think about goals, the goals of this ministry, you are part of this ministry. We sang the family of God, and I believe that everybody seated here can be a member of that family, And because you are a member of that family, or become a member of that family if you're not already, that you can participate in the family activities. And so I want you to think about goals. Goals for this ministry. My goals are not your goals. And you should have goals. There should be a reason you are here this morning. Maybe you haven't examined it. Maybe you haven't thought it all through. Why am I here? Well, it just seemed like the right thing to do. You know, when Moses came out of Egypt, it was not just Israelites who followed him. There were a lot of Egyptians who followed him too, because everybody else was going behind him. And so they fell in and went with him. Not because they believed in Moses, but because everybody was going. Everybody was doing it. That's not a good reason to pick a church. I hope this morning that as you come here, that you are being fed the Word of God. And that when you go home this afternoon, you will be thinking about the Word of God that you heard here this morning. Now, the pastor might set goals for the church, but they won't get accomplished if the whole body is not involved, and you are the body. Let me give you an example of how that works. A couple of years ago, I was thinking, how can we reach out? Now, that was my thoughts. And I thought, if we could put a sign out front, an electronic sign, we've got 40,000 cars in the morning passing here going downtown. And in the afternoon, we got 40,000 cars coming back. And if we could put something out there that they could read while they're waiting for the light to change and they get the chance to move forward at 2 miles an hour, they might just read it just out of boredom. And I shared that vision with you. And some of you grabbed that vision, and it became your vision, and you made that possible. And now we have a sign out front that 40,000 drivers can read as they go by. And then we needed help with that. And A.B. was programming that sign to begin with. He was the only one who could understand what was going on with it and read the book. And some of us looked at the book and just shook our heads, and that's way above me. Today we have volunteers who are programming that sign every week. You have a goal, whether you realize it or not, to communicate with the people going by. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. We're doing something. Something for the Lord. Something that carries eternal consequence. So, I'd like to challenge you with something this morning. I want you to think about this, because everything that you do, everything that I do, either has consequences or requires time. And for some of us, time is a lot shorter now than it used to be. And it's going a lot faster now than it used to go. But in order to establish a goal, whether it be short-term or long-term, there is a process, a three-step process, and I want to share those three steps with you this morning so that you can begin the process Number one, step number one in establishing a goal, it's accomplished on your knees. That's got to be step one. God, what do you want me to do? I don't need to ask him what Amy should do. That's between she and God. I need to ask him what I should do. And I need to ask him in the leading of God's Holy Spirit. He lives in my heart. He lives in your heart if you know Jesus. And he will show you what he wants you to do. So step one is the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we spend time praying, and I'm going to ask you to do that. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high prize, of the prize of the high calling of God. And so that's what we are doing. That's what we're seeking to do. We're seeking to find goals. That's Philippians 3:14. Then, the next step would be to listen to what the Holy Spirit might say, to listen for the call of God. And so you might consider this a sort of a homework assignment. And so what we want to do is listen for the Holy Spirit of God and think about what he might want you to do, not somebody else. And then when you think you might have an idea, there's two sources of ideas that you and I both experience. One of them is our heart. Our heart can really get us into trouble in a hurry because our heart tells us, oh, we got to help this person, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. And it's not God, it's our heart. And you know what he says about our wonderful, pure, good heart? He says that our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So you and I can't know our own hearts. But there's a Holy Spirit in here somewhere. And he can lead us. He can help us to realize what our goal should be and to lay out a plan for that goal. Okay, let's say that I want to go from here to Publix. Well, there's more than one way I can do that. I can walk and hope I don't get run over by somebody out on Dorchester Road. Or I can drive, and again, hope I don't get run over by somebody out on Dorchester Road. So there's more than one way to accomplish a goal. So we need to think about how it could be accomplished and write down the steps. If you come up with a goal, write it down. Write down the steps of how you think that goal can be accomplished for you. And if you have a problem with that, say, you know, I have a goal, but I don't know how to do this. Come to me. I'll be glad to sit down with you. We'll look at Scripture and we'll see what the Scripture says, how it can be accomplished. And then we'll work on doing it. We all should be working together to accomplish each other's goals. I should be trying to help you. You should be trying to help me. That's why we call ourselves the family of God, not the society of God. We are God's family. And we should be acting like God's family. So step number one, pray. Step number two, let God give you, let the Holy Spirit give you a goal, and then sit down and figure out exactly how that goal can be accomplished. And then the third step, and this is the step that usually gets everybody. If you set a goal, and you sit there in your living room and waiting for it to happen, it ain't going to happen. It's going to take action on your part. Not my part, your part. And we are the family, so we're all wanting to kick in and help you accomplish the goal that God gives for you. He's going to give me goals. And I'm going to either share those goals with you, or I'm going to let you help me accomplish my goals that He has given me. But together, we have strength. Like a bundle of you take a toothpick, one toothpick, we can break it. Put 150 of them together, and it's a whole different ballgame. In our case, 30 of them together. And so we can help each other accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. If we shoot at nothing, we're going to hit it. If we have no goals, we're going to achieve every one of them. So I believe this morning as we meet together here that we need to think about the fact that God has a goal for you. I have no idea what it might be. And maybe right now you don't have any idea, or you may get an idea, and God may call you to do something. You say, oh God, I can't do that. I don't know enough. I don't have enough education. God is not going to ask you to do anything that He will not help you achieve. He will not ask you to do anything that He will not help you achieve. That's why He is there. That's why He is giving you the goals that He gives you. We need to establish goals. And I need your help deciding what those goals are, either as a church or as an individual. And so I am going to put a box out on the visitor's desk, and it's going to have a slot. Would you write your goal down? Would you also, you don't put your name on it. Don't want to embarrass anybody, including myself. Would you write your goal down? Would you write the steps down that you think are needed to achieve your goal? And would you drop it in that box? Now, once a month, normally, the deacons and I sit down and conduct church business. It's usually on the second Tuesday of every month. We meet in the conference room, and sometimes we have some lively discussion. Sometimes it's very routine. But we would like to be able to know that we are doing what you think God wants you to do. And be involved in the kind of ministry that we think and you think God wants us to be involved in. Remember, Jesus went out. He didn't stay where he was. He was not static. He went out to where the people were. We need to do that as a church. There are activities, there are festivals, there are all kinds of activities that go on. And if we have gospel tracts, and it's all it takes is just a handful of gospel tracts. You can go out to maybe the carnival over here and pass out tracts to people, and they may not read them. They may just throw them down. But there may be one person, just one, who's looking for Jesus. And this gospel tract may be the very thing that they have needed, and God wants to use you to reach that person. You and the Holy Spirit, you're not going to do it alone. But we have a fair coming up. There are thousands of people there. And I know some of you go to the fair. Take a couple hundred gospel tracts with you, pass them out. We need to go to where the people are because we want to see people saved. And then we want to bring them here so that they can be discipled and so that they can grow. And so they can go out and disciple more people. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it did work in the early church. Tonight we'll be looking at the book of Hebrews, and we'll be looking at the balance of the third chapter. Last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 3. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 4 through 19. And it is a warning to Jesus' church, of which we are a part. So, be thinking about this. Spend some time praying, asking God to show you your goals. Then sit down and think through how to accomplish your goal. And once you've done that, share it with us. No names. And then, the most important part, take action. Take action. If we don't act, we're not going to accomplish anything. And so the action part of it is as necessary as any rest of it. It's all vitally important. Important to this ministry, important to you as a child of God. So we're talking about reaching out. Jesus reached out. He gave us the example. We need to reach out. We are so grateful for our visitors this morning. Somebody reached out that you are here. Or the Holy Spirit led you to be here. And we are grateful for that. May we share with you what God wants for you from His Word. And hopefully, that will have an impact on your life and on mine. Reaching out, setting goals, following through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a place like this. For almost 40 years now, you have kept the doors open. You have provided the funds that we need and the finances that we need to pay the bills. But Father, you've provided so much more than that. You've provided souls. And Father, we do love you. We have come here to worship you this morning. We have come also to hear your word, and we pray that your word will take root in our heart, and Father, that there will be an application, not just hearing. As James said in his little epistle, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So, Father, we take that admonition from thee. Help us to be doers of the word. And, Father, we know we cannot do it on our own, but we will do it in your strength. And we will praise you for everything that you do on our behalf. We will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.